is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation. Welcome on into your show, Cougar Nation, here on KSL News Radio, hosted by me, your BYU insider for KSL Sports, Mitch Harper. Usually always joined by Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday in this program, but our travel schedules were a little bit tricky this week. I was on the East Coast out in Florida for the BYU-UCF game. I had a little bit of travel delays because of all the crazy weather in the Midwest, and Matt was on the sunny West Coast, so we couldn't get our schedules to align. So I'm rolling solo this week here on the show. We got so much to unpack in this edition of Cougar Nation as BYU breaks through and gets its first victory in Big 12 play down at UCF. We'll unpack everything I thought and took away from that game. Also, the experience of watching a game at UCF. It was quite the experience, I must say, and discuss the latest in the Big 12 Conference. Also, BYU's got a big one tomorrow night against the Iowa State Cyclones in the Marriott Center. It's a big matchup. We'll preview that one as well here on Cougar Nation. If you want to be part of the show, 801-575-8255. You can also text me, 57500. The question today here on Cougar Nation, after three games played, is the Big 12 even tougher than you thought it would be? The nation's toughest conference continues to prove its might here in the Big 12, and BYU's in the thick of all of that. But we got to, right now, start the show off with my takeaways from BYU-UCF.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
BYU 63, UCF 58. The Cougars get their first win in Big 12 play. They're 13-3 overall, 1-2 in the Big 12 Conference. Last week, BYU had a tough setback to Baylor, and then they bounced back, went to the East Coast for the first time since 1999. BYU played a true road game in Florida, and they come away victorious against the Knights. Takeaway number one, BYU had a halftime lead for the third time in Big 12 play, but this time they held on and finished the job, delivering Mark Pope his 100th win as the head coach of the Cougars. When BYU had the halftime lead, there was a lot of feeling of, okay, nice start. BYU is doing everything that you expect them to do. They were the favorite going into that game against UCF, and mind you, UCF was riding high coming into that matchup. They had just knocked off the Kansas Jayhawks. You talk about getting your breakthrough first Big 12 win. The Knights, who were the preseason 14th team in the coaches' poll in the Big 12, they took down the preseason favorite. So there was a lot of confidence from the side of UCF, but there was also the letdown potential. And BYU rolls into Orlando. They had that halftime lead, and my goodness, they did everything in their power to potentially give that game away to UCF. UCF reels off a 14-2 run and gets it down to a one-point deficit when BYU had things rolling. They were up by 13, riding high in the second half, and then UCF made things really interesting for BYU. This was Mark Pope after the game. If his team's relieved to finally get their first Big 12 win.
In terms of relief, I don't know if we have relief. I think we're just hungry to just go find a way to win a game. And now we're hungry to go try and find a way to win another one.
Look, Pope can spin it all he wants. There's got to be some relief, because had you lost that game to UCF, you would have been staring down a world of then facing Iowa State, who's a top 10 team in the net rankings. You would have then had a game against Texas Tech on the road, who's undefeated in the league, and then against Houston next week, and then Texas. you could have gone the whole month of January without a win had you not got this one against UCF. But the fact that BYU finished the job and they faced adversity, I mean, it wasn't pretty by any stretch. And it was a game where, you know, BYU's offense wasn't great. I don't think it was the biggest thing of beauty. I know Mark Pope in the postgame said that he felt like it was the definition of beauty, how both teams laying it out on the line and everything they got. BYU ends up shooting 40% from the field, 35% from three. But I think one of the big things that I took away from this game was that BYU got tougher, too, in the second half. The size of UCF with Ibrahim Diallo, the 7-footer transfer from San Jose State, who was the star against Kansas, he still got his 11 points, 19 rebounds, but I thought BYU managed them well in the second half. BYU out-rebounded the bigger, more physical UCF team in the second half, and UCF's offense, too, was not great. I thought UCF, honestly, you know, they started the game knocking down their first three three-point attempts, and then they missed the next 15. They finished the game 3 of 18. Some of that was BYU's defense, but a lot of it was the fact that UCF doesn't have much offense to their toolkit, if you will. There was a lot of run at the basket, throw it up, and hope that the refs call a foul, and they weren't getting bailed out much. And look, UCF went to the foul line a ton. They had 33 free throw attempts, only knocked down 21. If UCF just hits half of those misses, they maybe win this game against BYU. BYU was 12 of 17 from the free throw line, but they did enough. And one of the stars, as we transition into takeaway number two, Ali Khalifa, the 6'11" center for BYU, was the star of the game for the Cougars. This was Mark Pope on his ability, Ali's ability, to stretch the defenses against opposing teams.
I don't know if I've had a player that expands the floor. You know, we talk all the time about we have to find a way with the team we are, with the skills we have, we have to make a way to force teams to guard 27 feet by 50 feet. Most, in our estimation, most teams probably make you guard 18 by 48 feet. And so we're trying to get 27 by 50. And I've never had a player that expands the floor as much as Ali at the five, being so dangerous, shooting from the three-point line, adding what we believe is another 30% of the game to our offense. And he's super dangerous. And, you know, I thought he was important tonight.
Khalifa finished with 17 points, 6 of 12 from the field, 4 rebounds. He did have 1 assist, but kind of a probably cringeworthy 4 turnovers. But, hey, he's going to say, so what? You got the win. And, oh, by the way, Khalifa had a highlight-worthy dunk that no one saw coming from Khalifa. This was Ali after the game in Orlando on his big dunk in the second half that caught everyone by surprise.
So great. Nobody expected that, obviously. Nobody in the whole world, I guess, expected that. But it was a great play. Coach told me I have some energy. I just subbed back in. And in my head, I was like, he's going to fall for it, and I will go try and dunk it. And it was a perfect opportunity. It feels great, obviously. And, yeah, many more to come. You know.
It was impressive, and you know, because you don't expect that from Ali, because he's not the most athletic guy, and he admits that. You know, he's someone that even told me, he's like, you know, I'm not the greatest athlete in the world. I know my limitations. Then for him to rise up and go throw that one down, it just embodies the physicality that Big 12 games showcase. And takeaway number three, that was a much-needed road win. It ends a 7-game road skid for BYU in true road games. And think about this. You know, BYU had not won a true road game since January 7th, 2023. That was at San Diego. That was a 20-point win in that one. BYU had not won a true road game since then. So it was time for BYU to break through and get that road success. And look, you might say on the surface, well, it was UCF. Folks, I was there at that game. That was one of the more electric crowds I've ever been to for a college basketball game. And I'll fully admit, I haven't been everywhere around the gamut of college basketball. But maybe it was because my low expectations for UCF. That student section was packed to capacity. It was a good crowd. It wasn't a sellout. It holds about 10,000 fans. I think it ended up somewhere in the 8,000 range for the game. or 9,137. It was a good crowd, and they were energetic. There was a good portion of BYU fans in attendance for that one. So the fact that you go into that setting and win that game, I thought it was a big win for BYU, and Mark Pope was – he was even impressed with the atmosphere that UCF had down in Orlando.
I'll be honest, man, I hope this doesn't hurt feelings or make people mad at me, but kind of as we previewed the league this year, one of the things we thought was like this UCF venue was not going to be like over-the-top electric. It's probably maybe the best gym we've played in so far. It's incredible, and it's just a tribute to the league.
I agree with Pope. It was the best road setting BYU's experience. I went to Foster Pavilion last Tuesday, and that was state-of-the-art stuff, high-tech, great venue in its own right from the new standpoint at Baylor, $212 million facility. But UCF's, that's going to be an underrated spot, and I would not be surprised if they knock off a few more big teams in the Big 12 in that building. So don't discredit any win because of the name on the front of the jersey. That's a rising venue for UCF in the Big 12. It was quite the experience, too. And it was fun. In the pregame, going around the arena, they have all these restaurants around. They had a fan zone, and they had these Welcome to Orlando banners for all the Big 12 teams, BYU included. UCF is all in on being a Big 12 school. So it was a fun atmosphere. It was very impressive, but it even was more fun for BYU as they get the win, 63-58, as the Cougars improve to 13-3 overall in the season, 1-2 in Big 12 play. We're taking a timeout on the other side. We'll get to the question of the night. The difficulty, the challenges of the Big 12 conference, where does BYU stack up within all of it? We'll hit on that next right here on Cougar Nation.
Cougar Nation, every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in, Cougar Nation. I'm Mitch Harper, your BYU insider for KSL Sports. Matt Biamonte out this week. He was in California. Again, if you missed it in the opening segment, Matt and I's travel schedules were a little bit tricky this week. He's on the Pacific time zone. I was in the Eastern time zone. I had a canceled flight because of all the crazy weather in the Midwest. So it was a little bit tricky. So rolling solo this week. If you want to be part of the program, 57500 is the text line, 801-575-8255. And the question of the day today on Cougar Nation, after three games played by BYU Hoops in the Big 12, is this conference even tougher than you thought it would be? You know, Mark Pope talked about this after the win over UCF, and, well, I mean, there's just a lot of lessons learned when you play a game in the Big 12.
Every single game in this league, you kind of get to go learn a little bit more about what you can do.
That is true. You do learn a lot more things about each team when you go out and play in the Big 12 conference. Now, I will say this. I don't think the Big 12, to answer the question, I don't think it's tougher than I thought going in. And let me explain. This is the best league in college basketball. But team number one in the Big 12, I felt going into the season, would be nearly untouchable. And I didn't have a designated team per se as to who that would be. I think naturally you assume Kansas will always be that number one team. But I kind of had in my head that a number one team in this league would be somewhat untouchable. And what I mean by that is about three losses at most. And that still could be the case. But you look at Houston last week. They go two games on the road, both losses. Kansas loses at UCF, has a tough game against Oklahoma at Fog Allen. The top teams right now in the Big 12 by the standings, Baylor at 3-0, Texas Tech at 3-0, and BYU went toe-to-toe with Baylor. They were by 9 points. They had a lead. They had it right in front of them, and you could argue the officials played a big role in that. And, look, I'm willing to entertain that. I mean, the officiating in that game against Baylor was terrible. It was awful. Was that the sole reason they lost? No, not at all. But that's the top team through the first 2 weeks of Big 12 play, and BYU belonged. And I think that for the whole summer, everyone felt, when I say everyone, BYU fans, people on the outside looking at BYU thought, they're not going to look like they belong in the Big 12. They're not going to be competitive in the Big 12. And then things kind of shifted in non-conference play with how dominant BYU was. But still, there was this element of, well, this is the Big 12 now. And look, every game thus far has felt like an NCAA tournament game. These games are outstanding. I love it. I love covering this conference because the level of play is so good, but is it tougher than I thought it would be coming into the season? No, I don't feel like it's tougher. I feel like this league has done an outstanding job of understanding how to put its teams in the best position possible to get to March Madness. They have a formula. They go into non-conference, they schedule light, they will thump every team in their site in non-conference, they'll play a few neutral site games, maybe one true road game, but then the metrics are all in their favor, and once they get to the conference play, they're all in the top 100 of the net pretty much, 10 of the 14 teams right now in the top 100. So, yeah, if you lose a game at Baylor, it's not hurting you because you just lost to a top 15 team. You go to UCF, that's a quad one road victory. They were number 74 in the net on Saturday when BYU took them down 63-58. They've just done a fantastic job of manipulating that. But the talent in this league is very good. I still just kind of lean from an individual talent. I think the SEC's got a little more NBA, bona fide NBA draft prospects, but this league has future pros. They're going to make a living getting paid to play basketball, and it's just been outstanding. It's been so much fun to see BYU basketball competing in this league. Here's the standings through 2 weeks in the Big 12. Baylor at 3-0, Texas Tech also at 3-0. BYU's got the Red Raiders coming up on Saturday down in Lubbock. Kansas at 2-1, Iowa State, TCU, and K-State all at a logjam at 2-1. Then you have another logjam, Houston, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, Texas, West Virginia, BYU all at 1-2 in the Big 12, UCF also 1-2, Oklahoma State winless so far in the league. So it's a deep, it's a competitive league where there's no bottom in this conference. Like, West Virginia beats Texas on Saturday. And West Virginia looked like a team that was ready to be just have the floor fall from beneath them because even though they've got a talented roster with a bunch of heralded transfers, they had the coaching scandal, they had all these issues, and then they beat a nationally ranked Texas team. Like, that's the quality of the Big 12. Is there a team in this league that will cut down the nets and win the national title? I don't know. And that's where maybe I feel like I'm not willing to say this is a league that's tougher than I expected, but the floor, teams 10 through 14 are definitely better than I was expecting coming in to the Big 12 Conference for year one for BYU. A program like BYU has elevated this league. UCF has elevated this league. You look at the personnel BYU faced from the Knights, that was a good team. You know, Diallo, C.J. Walker, Jalen Sellers. Johnny Dawkins got a good squad. They had good athletes on that team, and I was very impressed with the size that they had on that front line. And I thought, wow, UCF has come a long ways in a hurry in year one in the Big 12, and BYU still battling and competing quite nicely in this conference. And they got another tough test tomorrow as they take on the Iowa State Cyclones, which, of course, you can hear right here on KSL News Radio. Tip-off at 7, pregame at 6, here on your legacy home of the Cougars. Taking a timeout, going to get to trending up and trending down. What's going on with BYU basketball, moving up and moving down. We'll hit on that next here on Cougar Nation, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
Following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. Listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
What is up, Cougar Nation? Welcome on into Cougar Nation. Every single Monday night during the BYU basketball season, 6 to 7, we're taking your phone calls, talking BYU hoops here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the Cougars. Also, if you miss any part of the program and you're like, ah, I missed that opening segment, what did Mitch and Matt say? Don't worry, there's a podcast. Go check it out on wherever you get your podcast and also on the KSL Sports app. Just search Cougar Nation and you can get this podcast and listen on demand. So right now, though, it's time for Trending Up and Trending Down in BYU Hoops.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
This is a fun edition of Trending Up and Trending Down coming after a win. It's a little bit different sentiment and tone after a loss as you start to feel like, where do you point to the trending up after a loss? In a win, you can easily identify trending up, and then you can also easily identify what's kind of trending down. That's the greatness of Big 12 play. It teaches you a lot, as Mark Pope noted, with this conference. Trending up, though, for me, has got to be Richie Saunders, the sophomore forward out of Wasatch Academy, originally out of Riverton High School. I think has been outstanding. I thought this past two games on the road, you talk about the toughness in the Big 12 Conference. No one embodies the toughness, I think, on BYU's team more than Richie Saunders. This guy's going downhill. He's attacking the rim with some violence. Like, he wants to finish at all costs. And I think he's become the best finisher around the rim for BYU. He ends up against UCF in the 63-58 victory over the Knights. 8 points. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, which is noteworthy because this BYU team is not the best from the charity stripe. 2 of 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He had about 22 minutes of play. This was Mark Pope on the performance of Saunders and what he's bringing to this BYU team on a nightly basis.
Richie's got a little bit of physicality to his game. He's got a little bit of fearless to his game. He's probably our most explosive cutter through contact and through grabbing and holding, and all those things are really important to us. Tonight, we got him a few minutes at the three, which is going to be really important for us moving forward just because there's some things he can bring to us at the three that help us with our lineup, and I thought he was terrific tonight. I haven't even looked at his numbers, but his impact on the game that didn't show up on the stat sheet is more impressive to me than even the numbers that showed up on the stage.
And that's a great point from Pope, because I laid out those numbers that Richie had, but he just is a guy that he'll dive out for a loose ball and kind of tap it and gets it back into play for his teammates. He's just that guy. He is a glue guy in every sense of the word that you need on a team that gets to March Madness. Because again, I think you look at this BYU team, I don't think anyone's looking at them and saying you're going to win the Big 12 title. I've kind of let that go after the Cincinnati loss. I'll just be honest there. But this team still should be in March Madness. And I think they're good enough, and they are a good team that deserves to be in the field of 68. They got to go earn it. But guys like Richie Saunders give them that chance to get to March Madness, get to the round of 64, and have an opportunity to make a run. That's the luxury of being in the Big 12, is that you're going to see every type of team, every type of style in this conference. So if you do get the chance and get enough wins to go to the NCAA tournament, you're going to be a team that's going to be battle-tested, and guys like Richie Saunders are the key to winning games that are close margins in this conference and also down the road in March. You know, what's trending down for me on this BYU team, the offensive firepower becomes kind of non-existent in close games down the stretch. Against UCF, they only made 1 field goal in the final 7 minutes, and that's one of the reasons UCF got back into the game despite facing a huge double-digit deficit. I mean, UCF fans, some of them, a few, were heading for the exits with about 8 minutes to go in the game because it looked like BYU was pulling away. You know, Trevenel had a great performance, 14 points, but then the shooting, the offensive firepower from Khalifa and everyone on the team just went silent, and UCF got back in the game. This was Mark Pope on that lack of offensive firepower down the stretch.
Yeah, we're super fortunate. And like I said, it's a credit to UCF. Clearly, they can guard. I mean, they've guarded the best in this league. You know, they made it really, really difficult for us down the stretch, and that's what big-time defensive teams do. They're a top 25 defensive team, and they really amped it up in the last several minutes, and it's a hallmark of their team also, and they're going to lean on it a lot. So a lot of credit to them, and super excited about our guys about battling through it to get a win.
BYU is such a balanced team, but it's sometimes you wonder if you just need that one guy to emerge that can put it on the deck and go get a bucket on his own. BYU just doesn't have that guy. And, you know, Jackson Robinson made some big shots, and he's emerging more as the backup point guard for BYU as he's taken on those minutes that really have been kind of were previously allocated to Trey Stewart. That's no longer the case. After Trey had 4 turnovers in 4 minutes against Cincinnati, those minutes are going to J-Rob now. And, you know, but they need that guy, I think, in clutch moments where things kind of tense up a little bit, especially on the road, and you're holding on to a lead, and you're trying to not blow it. You need someone that can just get a difficult bucket on their own that doesn't have to be, you know, designed by a play or what you run within your offensive sets. Just you got to go ISO and go get that play off the deck. So something to monitor for BYU going forward. What is trending up, though, another piece, since Matt Biamonte is out this week, I'm holding it down solo. Mark Pope, he's trending up. Win number 100 for the head coach of the Cougars. He's in his fifth season at BYU. And I got to say, it's been a whirlwind. And I think that there's not enough respect given to how successful Mark Pope has been. The last 2 years were challenging, and that year in particular where they went to the NIT, that was a tough pill to swallow for BYU because they rose high in the AP rankings to number 12. There was everything in front of them, and they looked like a team that was destined to get to March Madness and maybe make a run. They finished in the NIT, and that was a bitter pill. But last year's group, it was everyone that was following it closely, like myself, I didn't really get bent out of shape over BYU having those struggles the way that they did last year because you knew that was all building to the Big 12. I think the concern was, well, you only win 19 games in the WCC. What does that look like in the Big 12? 9 wins? And, you know, like the jury's still out on how BYU is ultimately going to fare in the Big 12. But I think Mark Pope has done an outstanding job with this program. I think Mark Pope, like, he fits the Big 12, you know, pantheon of coaches. Like, he fits in this league, his personality. He works in this conference. He works at BYU, too. And it'll be interesting to see if he continues to have more success and if he has the year that I think this team will have being a NCAA tournament team. You know, BYU, do they want to secure his future, lock him up long-term again to make it clear he is the guy of the future for BYU in the Big 12? Because that conversation has to be happening because when you're a program or you're any team that far exceeds expectations, you got to have conversations about a contract extension. So Mark Pope, already at win number 100 at BYU, he's done an outstanding job. He has the potential to surpass Dave Rose as one of the best head coaches in BYU history. You know, you go back in time, Stan Watts, of course, but in the last 40-something years, I think Dave Rose is the best. And Mark Pope's got that ceiling to be the best coach ever at BYU, in my opinion. And I think he's on his way. And he's produced successful programs and successful teams during his coaching tenure, and I just like what he's doing with BYU. Like, it's clear as day, BYU doesn't have the athletes, like even a UCF in the Big 12, yet he's still winning. He's still finding ways to get victories. There's some areas with Mark Pope that can still improve. I think some of his rotation, sometimes the substitution patterns. That was a grave mistake with Trevenel against Cincinnati. Those sort of things can be fixed. But I think overall, the body of work with Mark Pope has done, and the way he recruits, there's a lot to like with Pope. And I just think that he's doing a really good job, and win number 100 for him. His players celebrated that a milestone by handing him a jersey with the number 100 on it. Well-deserved. They had it traveling to Waco. They had it at the Marriott Center for the Cincinnati game. So it was getting some frequent flyer miles, and it would have added a lot more miles had they not got that win in Orlando, but they got it done, and Mark Pope gets win number 100. Let's take our final time out of the show. And on the other side, we'll preview BYU versus Iowa State, everything you need to know between the Cougars and the Cyclones for Tuesday night right here on Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Final segment of the program this Monday holiday evening. I hope all of you are having a fantastic day and hope you have a fantastic week. I'm Mitch Harper, your BYU insider for KSL Sports. This is Cougar Nation, your weekly check-in on BYU basketball, getting the voice of Cougar Nation onto this program. And tomorrow night, BYU going to be taking on Iowa State. This is a big game. Two 13-3 teams. Iowa State's 2-1 in conference. BYU 1-2. Tip off at 7 at the Marriott Center. Two top 10 teams in the net rankings. So BYU and Iowa State locking horns for the first time in since nearly a decade. I remember that game in 2013. Eric Mika was on that squad. George Niang on Iowa State. It was a tightly contested game, but Iowa State came out on top, and I expect nothing less from that environment tomorrow night in the Marriott Center. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere with BYU fans. I know Ali Khalifa, who had the big game, 17 points against UCF on Saturday. He's very excited for this challenge against Iowa State.
And we're just thirsty. We were ready to play Iowa State already. So it was fun in the locker room after, but we're looking forward to playing on Tuesday.
They're thirsty. They need that other win. They need to protect home court. And that's what makes this game so significant. Not only is Iowa State a type of team that could really boost the resume even more than it already is for BYU, but you got to protect home court in the Big 12. And Iowa State, similar to BYU, had a very light non-conference schedule. I mean, it was far worse by the metrics in the non-conference, far easier, rather, for Iowa State than BYU's non-conference slate. They had some setbacks in the non-conference against Virginia Tech, Texas A&M, in a multi-team event out in the East Coast, and they lost their first Big 12 game on the road at Oklahoma. But the past week, though, Iowa State protected home court at Hilton Coliseum, taking down Houston in a massive snowstorm. It wasn't even sold out. There wasn't students there, and that place was still electric for that game against the Houston Cougars, and they won that one and then took care of business against a very young Oklahoma State team. Some of the noteworthy players to watch for Iowa State include Taman Lipsey, the sophomore guard who really is emerging as one of the best guards, I think, in the Big 12 Conference. 6'1", 200 pounds. He's a hometown kid out of Ames. But then they also have this freshman who heralded recruit, four-star prospect, Milan Momcilovic out of Wisconsin, 6'8", 220 pounds. He hit the game winner against Houston. And mind you, they designed the play call. T.J. Otzelberger, the head coach of Iowa State, designed it for Milan to get that play in a clutch situation. So that kind of highlights how they view him. He's got the ceiling to be one of the best players in the conference eventually if he stays around in Ames. He's a really good one. So that's a noteworthy matchup there to see, you know, Milan Momcilovic for against BYU coming up tomorrow night. But Iowa State, you know, fairly similar size to BYU. They don't have as big of height of advantage as UCF did against the Cougars. But this is going to be a game where I feel like BYU has got to take care of the basketball at home. I also want to see BYU's three-point ball fall at a higher clip. Like, just find a way to get a win, sure. But kind of, I want to see what that non-conference edition of BYU looks like in a Big 12 game. I understand you're not going to get that performance every single night in the Big 12. This league's too good to get that sort of results nightly. You'd be the team cutting down the nets in March if you were that consistent and that good every single night in this league. But why not have a night where you knock down 12 three-pointers, you put up 30, but you're hitting them at a high clip and Iowa State doesn't know how to respond? Now, it's going to be a tough task because Iowa State is probably the best defense in college basketball. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to give them the slight edge because Houston was the best defense, and Iowa State took them down. So I'm giving Iowa State a slight edge. If they're not the best, they are one of the best, and they are suffocating to where you got to win games 59-58, and they're okay playing that game, whereas BYU, ideally, you're playing games in the high 70s, low 80s, and that's where BYU think feels like they're at their best. BYU's willing to, you know, play in a defensive battle. They did that on Saturday against UCF, but I think the talent and the offensive firepower of Iowa State is a lot more potent, potentially, than UCF. UCF wasn't a good offense. They just weren't. Outside of Jalen Sellers, there wasn't much to write home about for the Knights offensively. Iowa State's a far different animal and a much taller task for BYU. This is definitely a game BYU could lose. And it sounds crazy to say that sort of line because at the Marriott Center, you just always assume BYU is going to be the favorite. They're going to take care of business. But that's, you know, what makes this league so challenging is that even though the history, the greatness of the Marriott Center is so good, you can be had. Now, winning on the road in the Big 12 is one of the tougher things in college basketball. Very few do it. And that's why it was such a big breakthrough for BYU to get that win at UCF. I'm also curious to see tomorrow night how Dallin Hall performs. I thought he had a nice game against UCF. And I'm you know, Dallin's been someone that at times has received recent criticisms from fans. I thought he had a underwhelming performance against Cincinnati, but I thought he showed well against the Knights. And, you know, I want to see Hall take care of the basketball. BYU not, you know, have those turnovers that they've been, you know, dealing with the past few games in the Big 12. Because if they take care of the Rock, they're going to be in a position to be in this game. I think it's going to be a close one. I think BYU and Iowa State, it's two similar teams, and they're both teams that have some offensive firepower to them, but with the slight edge going to Iowa State on the defensive side. BYU comes into the game, I think, you know, they've got to have Trevin Nell continuing his outstanding shooting performance that he's experienced in recent games. He's up to 16 made three-pointers through three games in the Big 12. If he continues at that clip, BYU's going to be in a spot to win this game against Iowa State. So it's going to be heard right here on KSL News Radio. Tip-off at 7, pregame at 6. Myself and Matt Biamonte will be inside the Marriott Center tomorrow night with all the coverage on KSLSports.com. So make sure to download the KSL Sports app and check out KSLSports.com. We will have extensive coverage. All these BYU basketball games, it's huge. Like all these Big 12 matchups, we're rolling out the coverage bigger, better than ever because it's a new era in the Big 12 conference, and that's why we're doing it better than anyone else on KSL Sports and KSL News Radio. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on wherever your podcast, just search Cougar Nation, and we will talk to you this Saturday on Cougar Sports Saturday from noon to 3, and then next week right here on Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio.